We are the Forsaken. Forsaken.
You're listening to a Corpse Run Radio minicast.
Welcome to the World of Warcraft Patch 6.2 Survival Guide. In this video, I'll walk you through just a few of the biggest new features and content coming in Patch 6.2, Fury of Hellfire. Gul'dan has twisted and corrupted the remnants of the Iron Horde to create his own fell army in service of his masters, the Burning Legion. To stop him, you and your forces will need to form an assault on Tanan Jungle, the seat of power for the former Iron Horde. Tanan is a huge new zone and features a ton of new content, including a new chapter-based quest campaign, several new objective hubs, new rare creatures and hidden treasures to find, and the return of Supreme Lord Kazik. To get to Tanan, you'll need to attack Gul'dan by sea. To do that, you'll need a shipyard, and in order to build one, you'll need the best resources Draenor has to offer. The first step is to find King Varian Wrynn or War Chief Fol'jin in your garrison, who have formed a plan to gather those resources and recruit a former Iron Horde shipwright to your cause. Completing these tasks will let you construct your shipyard, which not only allows you to get to Tanan Jungle, but also lets you build a variety of ships and send them out on naval missions. Once your shipyard is complete, you'll also be able to start on the final step of Archmage Khadgar's legendary quest chain. Khadgar is working as quickly as possible to keep Gul'dan from training a new generation of warlocks and needs your help to stop him. Completing the quest chain will upgrade your ring to its final legendary form with an extremely powerful raid-wide on-use effect. Of course, completing that chain will require you to step into Patch 6.2's brand new raid zone, Hellfire Citadel. There are a total of 13 encounters in Hellfire Citadel, spread across 5 wings, beginning with an assault on the front gates of the Citadel itself, and culminating in an epic battle for the fate of Draenor. Keep an eye out for more details on the Hellfire Citadel raid once it opens. We've also added a brand new Mythic difficulty mode to all Warlords of Draenor dungeons. Mythic dungeons are tuned to challenge even seasoned adventurers. In fact, you might want to have a few pieces of gear from the Highmaul or Blackrock Foundry raid instances before you try them. If you and your friends are strong enough to take on Mythic dungeons, you'll be rewarded with high-quality epic gear. Last up is our new bonus event system. This system allows us to create special, time-limited bonus events that give you extra rewards for participating in a specific activity. Each event will point you toward a different type of content, including a brand new feature we call Time Walking. Time Walking events allow you to go back to older dungeons from the Burning Crusade or Wrath of the Lich King and scale down your level and gear to match the dungeon's heroic difficulty. However, the loot you receive will be scaled up to your character's level, and level 100 characters can earn an extra bonus roll token for use in level 100 raid instances. These are just a handful of the new features in Patch 6.2. There's also a new adventure guide, which directs you to content relevant to your character, class and profession updates, some major improvements to Ashran, a new meta achievement that will eventually allow flight in Draenor, and a whole lot more. Be sure to check out our full patch overview on worldofwarcraft.com for complete details on everything we didn't cover here. Thanks for watching, and we'll see you in Hellfire.
Hello and welcome. Today I want to talk about the Badlands. The Badlands in post-Cataclysm has a very unique way of starting quest leveling. When you accept the initial breadcrumb quest from the hero's leaderboard or the war chief's command board, you won't be sent to the Badlands themselves. You will be sent to talk to Geek Nozzle Rocket, and he is located in Light's Hope Chapel in the Eastern Plaguelands. Now you might wonder, why is that? I'm not sure really. I would say most likely it's because level wise it's the next zone in the progression through the continent, and they put in a, as I said earlier, very unique way of getting there, in that it is a quest from the leaderboard that takes you there. You will go to Geek Nozzle Rocket, and he will fly you with his rocket contraption down to fuse light by the sea in Badlands, and that's where you'll start your leveling through the zone. It's a one-time, no-return access area with no flight point, and you will need to be level 44 to get this breadcrumb quest if you decide to not go to the Hero's Call board or the War Chief's command board. Nowadays though, just after the release of 6.2, you will have the exclamation mark pop up in your adventurer's guide, and you'll just accept the quest from the adventurer's guide, which is now the way to go. You don't need to go back to a capital to accept the breadcrumb quest for a new zone you can access or want quest in. So just hit that button and you'll get the quest from there. So to speak, the adventurer's guide is your new board. Once you start questing through the zone, you will encounter the following flight points. After a short while, you'll get to the regular fuse light neutral flight point. And from there it branches out into the Alliance flight points of Dragon's Mouth and Dustwind Dig, as well as the Horde flight points of Blood Watcher Point and New Kargath. Kargath, back in the day, the regular old Kargath, so to speak, was a very important flight point in that most of the Horde players flew in there to access the Searing Gorge and the Burning Steps areas, as well as the Blackrock Mountain dungeons and raids. And we regularly had big, huge, almost epic siege PvP battles at the entrances of the Blackrock Mountains, with the Alliance or the Horde respectively holding the entrances to the mountain and the other faction laying siege to that respective entrance, be it from the north, the Searing Gorge, or the south, the Burning Steps. But most oftentimes it was the north entrance, because the Alliance was defending the mountain from the onslaught of the Horde that poured in from Kargath, from the Badlands, and it took, sometimes you fought like 2-3 hours an evening to prevent the other faction from getting to their raids, which was really epic and really cool. Nowadays, the Badlands have lost that special element, since you have all these flight points in the zones themselves, where you don't have to run across half a zone to get to the respective entrances, and where nobody cares about the content anymore. And if you want to do PvP, you go to Ashran, or you just do rated BGs or some other stuff, and no one really cares about these old open world PvP battles like South Shore versus Terran Mill or Crossroads, or the Siege version that I just mentioned of Blackrock Mountain. One important element in all these open world PvP things that I just talked about as well is the lack of flying. And when Blizzard decided to make flying available in the old Azeroth, so to speak, although they were reworked in Cataclysm, all this open world PvP battling got devalued quite a bit, because the nature of the PvP and the flying mechanic, they don't go well together. So if you fly over a open world PvP area and just swoop in on your enemy, and you'll see where I'm going with this tactically, so this is not really a thing that you can simply reinvigorate in people, because mechanics, very important mechanics, have changed in the game's world, and that's not for the better in this case. Just a little food for thought on another aspect of the flying mechanic discussion. I digress. Back to the Badlands. The Badlands, in my opinion, have become more interesting for the normal player after Cataclysm was released, and that's not very often I get to say that. The Badlands have a 5-man dungeon in Uldaman. Pre-Cataclysm, It had two entrances and a very unique role to play in that you had to go to Olderman, go in through the back entrance and fight your way through, I think, three bosses to get to the only available high-end enchanting trainer in the game. And I think the level you needed to be was skill 285 and up. When you reached that skill level, the regular trainer learned recipes came from there. And if you wanted to reach skill 300, which was back then max skill, if you wanted these recipes, you had to go there two or three times to learn the respective recipes, besides the ones obviously that dropped in various instances, such as raids or five mans. So not only had alchemy people their scholomance nightmare, no, the enchanting people had their nightmare dungeon wise in Olderman. I don't want to spoil too much here, but another element of the post-cataclysm version of Badlands is the story of Rathion. If you want to know where he came from, how he was quote-unquote born, no, not born, created, because we don't get to see him being born in him hatching from the egg, which I consider born in the dragon's case. There is no time in game, no place in game where we get to see that happen directly, that is. You can simply learn his creation story by questing through the Badlands. I don't want to spoil too much, as I said. It's a very nice laid out story. The one thing I want to mention though, and that's for people that are into ethics, it has been mentioned in various discussions that from the first day that the conscious mind of a dragon inside the egg, he or she is aware of everything that goes on with the egg and with the surroundings. With that in mind, play through the questline of Rathion's creation. It starts with a little goblin girl, that's all I'm gonna say, and notice what happens to the respective elements in the quest. I find it quite disturbing, and for me it's one aspect, one possible explanation why Rathion's mind turned out the way it did. But yeah, go find out for the people that haven't done that yet and see for yourself. The other noticeable quest line that I want to mention before I close this is the day that Deathwing came quest line. It starts at the western entrance of the Big Scar in the midwestern part of the zone, where three NPCs discuss the goings on the day when Deathwing came, and they all get to, through the quest line, tell their respective side of the story. It's very funny, it's very entertaining, I really like it. So this should be it for me for this week. I don't want to go into all the small things all that much. You'll see when you play through the zone, it's a quite diverse zone to play through, but the two main quest lines I talked about. As always, if you have questions or suggestions for me, you can tweet me at grandnegus1. You can write me at towerofcommerce@gmail.com or write into the show, corpserunradio@gmail.com. This has been Grand Negus, Rule of Acquisition, number 19. Satisfaction is not guaranteed. Bye, guys.
Hello, everyone. A few days ago, we received a tweet about a significant lore change from one of the people that work over at Blizzard, and this sparked quite a discussion on the internet. A few of you asked me if I could make a short video talking about this, which I would love to do, because I think this tweet makes very little sense, and I would love to talk about it. The tweet says, Archmond is a demon whose demon soul is anchored to the Nether. The Nether transcends all realities. That is all. That is all indeed. And yet it matters a lot for the overall lore, for the overall storyline. But before we dive into what this tweet actually says, let's give it a bit of context. Multiple realities have been a thing in the Warcraft story since forever. The bronze dragon Nosdormu was charged by the Titans to keep the true timeline safe, which implied that there were multiple timelines with multiple realities. The demon Melchazar in Karazhan already claimed that all realities were open to him, Froz helped out Nosdormu in different realities, Warcrime showed us more characters from different realities, and in the expansion Warlords of Draenor, we actually got to play around in a different reality. Now, multiple realities, it's a theory, it's a fantasy, so pretty much any rules that you want to apply, you can apply to them, but one of them, which I think applies to World of Warcraft, is that you have one universe that is the prime one, right? The one Nosdormu was charged with to keep straight and to keep in line. That's the prime reality, and from that one, multiple realities spawned. Every choice, every scenario, every possibility imaginable is a reality when you go with the multiverse theory. A reality where Arthas didn't become the Lich King, but instead marry Jaina. A reality where Bane challenged Garrosh to Mak'Kor'an after his father died. A reality where Jaina did flood Orgrimmar, or Thrall never liberated himself out of Durnhold. Every choice we make, every scenario, all of that creates different realities and different possibilities. Now, that has always been there, and it was never a big deal. It was mentioned here and there, and we knew it existed, but our game experience and the overall storyline, it wasn't really affected by it. That all changed when the possibility of linking these different realities became a thing. We saw a minor version of this during the Cataclysm with the End Time Dungeon, and the End Time Dungeon is a reality in which we failed to stop the Old Gods and the Hour of Twilight happened. You saw how Sylvanas had fallen, how Bane had fallen, you saw Deathwing spiked up on the tower over there. That's a different reality, and that could have happened at the end of the Cataclysm. Now, naturally, we didn't fail. We did stop the Old Gods. We kept the prime reality in the right line as was supposed to go, and that alternate reality did not affect us greatly. We went in there, you know, we took care of business, but the overall storyline was still fine. We did the Cataclysm, Thrall saved the day, and we moved on into the next expansion. Now, with Warlords, another link between multiple realities has been established. It was through the Dark Portal, and at first they told us that our history, our overall storyline, it wouldn't be affected. Sure, the Iron Horde, it came in, it tried to conquer Azeroth, but we kicked them back, we stepped through the Red Portal to make sure that they wouldn't try something like this again. We made sure that our reality was safe. Alternate Draenor, it was kept in its own neat little bubble, it was locked away behind the Red Portal, and again, it was its own thing. It didn't create a huge problem for the overall storyline, but that, with this tweet, it changed. Now, the first bit of the tweet, what it says, first it says that Archimonde is a demon, whose demon soul is anchored to the Nether, so basically Archimonde can't die on Azeroth. He can only be truly killed in the Twisting Nether. We've seen this before with the Dreadlords, it's not a new thing, and now it's confirmed that powerful demons, like Archimonde, most likely also Kil'jaeden, they cannot be killed on Azeroth. Remember that awesome storyline during Warcraft 3, where you got all these troops together, where Medivh got the world ready to defend itself, all of them were working together, the Night Elves sacrificed their immortality to stop the Legion invasion to blow up Archimonde? Yeah, that storyline is now changed, because they did not kill Archimonde, all they did was send him back to the Twisted Nether, and it was merely a setback. Sure, they saved Azeroth for the moment, but in my opinion, this just seems like a big finger to the Warcraft 3 storyline. Like, yeah, you did defend the planet, you just didn't kill the bad guy, you know? He's just gonna come back one day. I wonder if you still have any trees to blow up, because you're gonna need it. It just, you know, but this is just a minor thing, so it's part of the problem, but it's only a small part of the problem. The next bit is a lot bigger. The next bit says that the Nether transcends all realities, all possibilities, all scenarios. Every choice you make creates a new reality, and the Nether is above it all. Home to the Legion, all kinds of creatures, they are not bound to one single reality. They are infinite and spread across every single reality. Now, this is the part that made me go like, what? Are you for real? Warlords of Draenor wasn't confusing enough on its own. You couldn't even explain the bubble of Warlords of Draenor at BlizzCon, and now you're just gonna throw this into the mix, that the Nether is above it all? How does that work exactly? If the Legion can just sit back and pick their realities by choice, surely they found one out of the countless possibilities that did not put up so much of a fight. Surely one reality will have perhaps Velen joining the Legion, or Thrall never forming the Horde, which we know is a reality, because we know that there's an alternate Thrall that never liberated himself as a slave. No Horde, nobody to team up against Archimonde, Archimonde taking over the World Tree. He fulfills his plans, he destroys the world, he got this ultimate power. Why hasn't this happened yet if they are above realities? There are infinite realities, and yet they're failing in all of them? You can't be real! You can't be serious with this. Now we put that to the side. Like, this is fantasy, right? This is creating our own storyline and we can imagine that there are multiple realities out there. But let's just focus on these two realities that we've access to, then we still have a question to answer. If the Archimonde that we're going to face on Draenor is the same Archimonde from our reality, which it is, since the Nether transcends all realities, then is he bound to the rules of time? Is this Archimonde the Archimonde of the past, around 30 years ago, or does the Nether also stand above the rules of time? Does the Nether not only transcend reality, but time, it just doesn't apply to it? It's uncertain, it's unconfirmed, but I think that they're not bound to the rules of time. Part of the reason why I think this is that, say that they are bound to time, right? And there's only one version of them, which we know there is now. How can they possibly invade Draenor in the same time period? In our reality, we have Kil'jaeden corrupting the orcs, nearly wiping out all of the Draenei, and then Archimonde pops up at the end of the story and says that Ser Garrus got pissed with Kil'jaeden's obsession, so they have to go. That's the storyline in a nutshell from our reality. In this reality, Kil'jaeden failed. Archimonde steps up to the plate to take over while telling Kil'jaeden that he failed at his job. So how the hell does that work? You failed in this reality, Kil'jaeden. I'm now going to step up, but you didn't fail in the original one, so good job on that. Yet I am going to tell you that our boss isn't happy and that you're obsessed. It just makes so very little sense. And on top of that, the description of Archimonde on the WoW website, if we're talking about are they linked to the rules of time, this is what the developers had to say about Archimonde. He failed, and so Archimonde was entrusted with the task of finishing the job. There are a couple of nods to the old Battle of Mount Hyjal encounter. Doomfire was mandatory, but Archimonde has learned a number of nasty new tricks since then. Archimonde has learned a number of nasty new tricks since the Battle of Mount Hyjal. Now this could just be a way to describe that he's new, he's improved, he's not the same Archimonde as we faced during the Battle of Mount Hyjal because he's got some new tricks up his sleeve, but combine this with this new tweet, and you get a whole nother problem. So Archimonde apparently has faced us during the Battle of Mount Hyjal in our reality, and now he's here in this alternate reality 30 years ago, and he's going to face us again. Is he going to be like, hey, Frodo, I remember you. You were the guy that prevented me from taking Nordrassil. How you doing, buddy? How can they possibly think that this is going to work if they face all these heroes that they faced before? And if they're bound to the rules of time, and we do take out Archimonde on Draenor, so say that, you know, they are bound to the rules of time, yet we do know that the Nether transcends realities, then we take out Archimonde on Draenor 30 years ago, how will that affect the battle at Mount Hyjal in our reality? Will he be, during Warcraft 3, be like, hey, I remember you guys from alternate Draenor, remember when Kil'jaeden failed and the orcs didn't drink the demon blood, but then they did drink it and we had this whole little battle at the end of the expansion? That was fun, wasn't it? Now let me try to take your tree. Like, what? Why? You make one single tweet and you blow up the storyline. Like, why would you do this? It now affects the overall storyline, the one thing that they didn't want to do. They were like, no, it's not going to change our history. That history is fine. It's only on Draenor. And now it transcends reality and it's just one big mess. Now, considering how many pages of discussion are going on right now, I'm going to leave it at this, and I just hope that Blizzard will reverse this tweet and reverse this decision. It would be so much easier and understandable if they just place one Legion in one reality, so you don't get this global mess of multiple realities. Yet one Legion in the Nether, and all that stuff that goes around it. It's just a big mess with the complications, if you think it through. Like, yeah, it is very complicated, and yeah, there is a lot of problems and plot holes that are created by this. Now, it's not the first time that I made a lore ruling on Twitter that was garbage either. If you remember Neptulon during the Cataclysm, he was captured by Ozymandias, and they never continued their storyline. They planned to do a raid back then, never happened. And then one day on Twitter, they decided, you know, we're gonna just complete that storyline. We're gonna say that Neptulon liberated himself, and the story is done and over with. This also caused quite a bit of confusion. Thankfully, after some feedback, that decision was reversed, that tweet was removed. And honestly, I hoped it would do the same and just say, you know, one reality, one Burning Legion, that is all. Right, everyone, that is me done for today with this quick update. Let me know what you think. Am I wrong? Is Blizzard on the right track with his lore choice? Are there things that I'm missing here? Do you have a different opinion? Please let me know in the comments below. And until next time, guys. See ya!